Well, good morning, good afternoon. It is Friday, right? So here we are once again on BPN Radio. This is Dale Allison, and you're listening to Stormwatch. We are glad that you have chosen to spend some time with us here on Friday. And every week, a lot of people say it's TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, but not always. Some weeks you wish Friday was a little farther down the road to be able to finish up the matters that have been brought to your attention and need to be taken care of. So hopefully most of you got your work done or just now wrapping it up and be able to look forward to the weekend. We want to come back and maybe hit a topic that we hit a couple weeks ago, mainly because there's a bit of news that came out that's a little bit disturbing. I know you all have heard this probably for the last three or four elections, of how important it is to get out and vote and vote right. I guess is the main thing. We're looking at a very serious time in our country that it requires men of integrity to stand up and reach out and encourage a vote for those people who are going to stand for what is right. We have a dangerous group of folks here in the United States that would take away our freedoms, who are disappointed that we are the country that we are. And it's sickening to those of us who love this country. I've never really understood why we've got so many people that are taking full advantage of our country and yet are trying to do things to it that would disrupt it and change it from its character and characteristics. Is the United States a perfect country? No, it's not. We've had historical things that have been bad for us, things that we have done as a country. But you know what? There's very few, if any, countries that have a lot to brag about. We are exactly what we were intended to be, and that was to be a light to the world. We are. Have we done some things that are not good? Yes, we have. There's no doubt about that. But we are still the best country in the world. We're always providing aid to everyone in every other country in the world. We're helping them. We are a charitable group of people. When the call goes out for help and assistance, our country is always number one to get there. But this is a critical time. We've got people who have basically said, elect me and I will impeach your president. We had an election. Maybe it didn't turn out the way everybody liked, but it was still an election. We are one of the few countries that have had in the history of our country, an orderly turnover from one administration to another, from one president to another. Because that's what we do. We let the people speak. Now, a lot of people get upset. They said, well, if the people are speaking, then it should be that we should have everything that the people want. Well, that's not true either. We established years ago, when our country was formed, a procedure in which we elect a president. And that procedure is that we elect him not necessarily by popular vote, but by the Electoral College, where each state has a vote. And the idea then, and is good today, is that big states should not have to run this country. The idea was that we would provide some balance. The big states could not, because they had the most population, they could not determine how this country would operate. They would have their vote like anybody else. Now, they get bigger votes, of course, because it's based on the number of representatives that you have, plus two senators, and that becomes the amount of votes that you cast. And in most states, it's winner take all. So if someone wins by one vote, they get the entire amount of votes for that state. And so when it's time for the Electoral College to meet, people go in representing their state and they cast their vote accordingly. If that is to change, it's to be changed by the states, not by the federal government. So if a state says, no, we don't want that, we want to be able to split our vote up so that maybe 51% would vote for candidate A and 49% for B, well, that could make a difference along the road. But we've got a group of people who do not want this country to move forward. They do not want this country to go back to where it was, being the great country that it is, the leader of the world. They don't want that. For 8 years, they tried to make us a typical third world nation, and we're acting like that because now we're trying to overthrow how the people voted. Whether you believe in Donald Trump or don't, really doesn't make a difference. You're supposed to be an American. And when you're an American, you look out for America. I can say that my first involvement with any president that I paid any attention to. I was still little. But by the time I was 9 or 10 years old, I started paying a little attention to politics. And I remember the 1952 election. And television was fairly new in our country, and what we had was we had a television that didn't know what to do with itself, so it decided it was going to cover the political conventions, really wall to wall. And so I was fascinated by that. During the summertime, I was out of school, and so between my lawn mowing and peach picking operations to earn a few bucks, I camped out in front of the TV. One reason is I grew up in Southern Illinois, and in 1952, the Democrat candidate for president was going to be Adlai Stevenson, who was our governor. And he became the Democrat candidate, and we had a really close race, it appeared, at one time. In the Republican Party, between a governor from California by the name of Earl Warren, a politician from Minnesota, I think, Harold Stassen, Senator Robert Taft from Ohio, and the hero of World War II, General Dwight Eisenhower. And as we know from history, the Republican candidate was Dwight Eisenhower, subsequently elected as president. And he's the first president that I paid a lot of attention to. Harry Truman was walking away from his presidency, having been reelected after he took over after Franklin Roosevelt passed. He was reelected president in 1948. I remember a little bit about him, but not a lot. Although I've got one of his sayings here on my desk. It says, "If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen." And, certainly I've used that. The other thing that he has said a lot is, "The buck stops here." And both of those phrases made a lot of sense and still make a lot of sense today. But because this is an important election, I can't emphasize the need to get out and vote. One of the privileges that we have in this country is the ability to go and vote. When we vote, it at least gives us an expression. We get some say. And I know there are some people say, "Dale, an individual vote doesn't matter." Well, there have been some elections where just a single vote, certainly not on the national level, but certainly on the local level, where a single vote has made a difference. But the important thing is, if you get 10,000 people who say, "My vote's not going to count," and those 10,000 people stay at home, what would have happened if those 10,000 people said, "You know, I'm going to vote anyway. I'm going to at least express myself, and I'm going to vote for who I believe is right, who should be our candidate." That's 10,000 votes that could end up on one side or the other, or somehow split in a way that would make that race a lot closer. I mean, wouldn't you hate to know that even in a local race, that a person got elected that you would have been against, and your friends would have been against, and he won with 20 votes. You and 25 friends decide to stay home and not cast your vote. You would have made the difference. That's what it is in this election. We have to get out and vote. And it's been made super easy by an awful lot of states. What do you mean super easy? You can early vote. You don't have to wait till election day. Me, I'm a traditionalist. I'm going to vote on election day. But even in our county here, we've got 2 or 3 weeks that you could go to the courthouse and vote way ahead of election time. So there's no excuse. Well, I work 5 days a week and I don't have a chance to get to the polls. Many counties that let you vote on Saturday. They do everything possible to accommodate the potential voter. And this is our obligation, especially as a Christian. You have no right as a Christian to stay home on election day. No right. You should be out here investing your time and effort on behalf of a candidate that you're involved with, that you feel is the right man or woman for the job. You should be active. If you can't hold up signs, put one in your yard. Let your neighbors know. It may evoke a conversation. Why are you voting for so-and-so? Then be prepared to say why. You may convince somebody else to vote for that person. But we have no right to stay home. That is a right that we have been given in this country that other people around the world would die for. To be able to vote. To be able to have some say. And we ignore that? I don't like either one of them. Well, didn't say you had to. You know what you ought to do? You gotta pray. God, I'm not thrilled with either one of these people. But I know I should go, and I know I should vote. It's a privilege that you've given to us, a right that we have to go and vote. God, I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm going to go and vote. But I need you to tell me who to vote for. Who should I vote for? Who is your candidate? Who are you wanting to vote for? See, many of us have a lot of people to vote for. Take me here in Georgia. We've got a potload of folks to vote for. Now, neither one of our senators are up, so we don't have that. But all of our state officials are up. We're going to have a new governor. We're going to have a new lieutenant governor. We're going to have a new secretary of state. And we have others who are running who have been there before. All of our congressmen are being voted on. All of our state senators and all of our state representatives are being voted on. In our area, our district attorney being voted on. So we have a lot of votes to cast. All of them important. You don't have any national votes. Yes, we do. Every one of our congressmen. Now, I only get to vote for one, the congressman in my area. But it's important because he's our representative. He represents us. He goes to Congress and he represents our area of the state. And he's to be speaking for us, as is our local state senator and our local state representative. They should be speaking for us. So we have a say. And our congressman goes to Washington. He's speaking for us in Washington. So he has an opportunity to speak and communicate what those of us here in the northeast corner of Georgia, what we feel about things that are going on, and votes for us. When he casts a vote, he's voting for us. Now, some states, maybe they have more people they're voting for than us, maybe they have less. But every state is voting for congressmen, and some states are voting for senators. And those votes make a difference. And so we should vote. And it's easy to figure out. Listen to your candidates. Who's voting for what you believe in? Who is God telling you to vote for? Are you telling us that God's interested in our election? Well, of course he is. Why would he not? This is a country founded in great part by Christians who were here because of religious freedom. They needed religious freedom. They were being persecuted in Europe. So they came here. They were being persecuted in England. So they came here. So they could have religious freedom. Contrary to our previous president, we are a Christian nation. Praise God, we are. But we're not going to be a Christian nation if Christians stay home and don't vote. We're not going to be a Christian nation if Christians don't stand up for godly principles. Our country's changing. If you can't see that, then God help you. I hope he opens your eyes and unplugs your ears. Because there's an attack on the church every day. They're keeping Christianity out of the schools as much as possible. I mean, I read in South Carolina, of all places, a young boy in school was punished because he called his teacher ma'am. I don't know where you grew up. I don't know what your mom and dad had to say. I was always taught to respect my elders. Now, that's the time from the time I was a little kid. I was taught that. I was taught yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You know what? I still do that today. Why? Because that's what I was taught. And I'm getting to a part here where I'm not so sure how many elders there are above me. But it doesn't matter. If somebody's in authority, I go to school and there's a teacher of one of my grandkids. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. That's just the way I was taught. And this young man was taught the same way. And here he's being punished by his teacher. Because let me tell you, not a lot of Christians teaching in public schools today. And that's one of the biggest mistakes we ever made. When prayer came out of the schools, the Christian teachers, most of them, left. And we essentially, as a group, as a Christian group, the first thing the churches did was set up their own schools. I have no problem with Christian schools, both of my children graduated from Christian schools. But we gave up the educational system. We walked away and we turned it over to those people who hate this country. You can tell when you even read about the curriculums. They're trying to put new curriculums into history classes. And they want to start with the election of 1828. So everything beforehand, the founding fathers, Mayflower Compact, the documentation of the early days of our country that reflected our reliance and trust in God, they want to leave that out. And we want to start with the election of 1828. We eliminate all of the foundational work of our country. So why do kids say this is not a Christian nation? Because they know nothing about it. They're not taught about it. I don't blame Christian teachers. I'm just saying if our ministers would have stood up, if we would have encouraged more of our Christian teachers to stay, if we would have encouraged young Christian teachers coming out of college to go into public schools, if we would have been active at school board meetings, if we would have decided if we're going to have a bunch of wishy-washy folks on the school board, vote them out, put people in there that would say, no, we're not going to do this, we're not going to have this stupid curriculum that wipes out the foundation of our country. If you don't know where you came from, if you don't know the foundation of your country and your family, then you will choose to believe whatever you want to believe and base your beliefs on something that's not a foundation. 1828 is not the foundation of our country. Nowhere close. Well, we've got a lot of history to teach. Yeah, why don't you try to teach it? This is what's going on in our school system today is ridiculous. But why is it going on? Because everybody stays home. Nobody pays attention to who's on the school board. Nobody goes in. Because when they do, when they cause a ruckus, when the newspaper comes out and starts reporting, time and time again, you read of here's what a school system did, or here's what the principal decided, here's what a teacher did. But as soon as those people show up at the school board meeting, and as soon as they start to raise Cain about this stuff and point out the fallacy of what's going on, almost every time, they back off. So it's time to be active. I'm going to take a small break here, and then we're going to talk about, Jim almost sounded like a pastor here that spends half his time saying, well, that was just preliminary. Now I'll get down to the message. But, I do have something that is bothering me, and so I want to make sure that none of you who are listening fall for this thing. But right now, I've got to remind everybody where we are. We're here at BBN Radio. You're listening to Storm Watch. This is Dale Allison. And, you know, we're this. BPN Radio is not on because it can be on the air. It's on because of people who believe in BPN Radio, who have been willing to support BPN Radio. And so I'm saying, if you enjoy BPN Radio, if you enjoy the prayer time, if you enjoy the shows in which discussions are held, if you enjoy the shows that provide you with information that's beneficial to you and your church, then consider a gift to BPN Radio. How do I do it? Well, you're already on the website because you're listening to through the website. You'll see there's a donate button. Click on. It's a way you can give if you want to give over the internet. Or, hey, you don't have to do that. You can sit back and write a check, drop it in the address there, and tell Dale and Gene, hey, we appreciate the sacrifice that you all have made, and we want to help you carry your message not only here in the United States, but around the world. That is one thing that maybe you forget. BPN Radio is available around the world. If you're on vacation and you're somewhere else around the world and you have access to the internet, you can get on the internet and you can pull up and listen to BPN Radio because it's on the internet. It doesn't have to have a tower. It doesn't have to have a federal license here to broadcast. It's able to broadcast and reach around the world, so you're not going to be lost if you say, gee, I really need to have some prayer and join with some fellow Christians. Hey, get on the air, go on the internet, bpnradio.com, find the schedule. In fact, they may even be praying at the time you get there, and you can join in and get prayer for the day. Consider it money well spent. Now, the thing that I wanted to talk about. I told you this election is important. Recently, the Department of the Attorney General for the state of Hawaii released a guidance to churches saying that their ability to speak during election times was limited. And they do not have the same ability to be involved in the political process that individuals do. Now, let me tell you, that is not correct. We had touched on 2 or 3 weeks ago about something called the Johnson Amendment. This was an amendment that came out in 1954, and it added some language that basically tried to prohibit churches from getting involved in the electoral process. And ever since then, people shudder when they hear the Johnson Amendment. You're going to lose your 501c3 status. I think there's only been one church that lost their status. It's a 501c3. But they didn't lose their tax-exempt status. Sounds contrary. Well, to a certain extent it is. Number one, a church doesn't have to file with the Internal Revenue Service to be tax exempt. In essence, it's tax exempt by definition. The statute does not require it to make application to the IRS to get 501c3 status. I have several churches that have never gone to IRS to receive 501c3 status. They have relied upon the statute that says they don't have to, and that as a church, they are tax exempt by definition. Because churches were in existence before our government. So this government that's created out of our rebellion against England in our War of Independence, when it was created, churches were already had already been in existence for thousands of years. So these, in fact, nobody bothered with churches and whether they were exempt or not. Everybody knew that. Everybody knew churches didn't pay taxes. But once we established taxes in this country, which was under President Wilson, and then the church started wondering, hey, our guys who usually support the church, you're causing them to pay income tax now, and they may not be giving us any money. How can we solve that? Oh, well, here's what we'll do. If you'll come in and show to prove to us that you're a church, then we'll allow a tax exemption and a deduction for any monies that people give to you. They can write that off against their taxes. So that was the importance of 501c3. Nothing had changed with the income tax that caused the church to be fearful that it was going to have to pay any taxes. It wasn't what they were concerned about. They were concerned about a Bobby Big Spender who, because he had to pay the government some money now, he might not agree to pay that to the church. But if we could get the government to agree that Bobby Big Spender could drop some money in the bucket and at the same time be able to write that off against the taxes, well, then we were going to be in Fat City. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people today, that's the only concern they have, is the money that goes in the plate. Well, Dale, I think you're being too harsh. No. When's the last time you went to church and the pastor said, folks, I'm not going to ask for any money today. We're not even going to take up a collection. We've been blessed so much by God, we don't need your money. Well, you say it was last Sunday? Okay. Well, then you're an exceptional church. Because most of them, that's what they're looking for. Two things. Fannies in the seats. Money in the collection plate. Why do you think they don't stand up to the government? Because they believed a lie. They believe what this Democrat attorney general wrote and said, y'all need to shut up. You can lose your tax exemption. Many people believe, and rightly so, that the Johnson Amendment, if it ever goes to court, will be found to be unconstitutional. Why is this guy wrong? Well, one thing about, I'm not going to get involved with politics. There's some people who really don't care that they're wrong. They want scare factor. They want fear factor. They want something to scare people off. They're going to do whatever it takes. But he hasn't even read what the law says. It doesn't say you can't. I'm going to read here. This is from the Internal Revenue Service's publication 557. And in there, it has some language that it shows as samples. Language that it requires to be in the articles and the bylaws of a church organization. And addressing this point about political activities, listen to what it says. No substantial part of the activities of the corporation shall be the carrying on of propaganda or otherwise attempting to influence legislation, and the corporation shall not participate in or intervene in, including the publishing or distribution of statements, any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for public office. Now, where does that say that the pastor can't say anything about an election? It doesn't say that. It says no substantial part of the activities of the corporation shall be the carrying on of legislation. And the corporation, the church, shall not participate in any political campaign. Does that have to do with the pastor? He's a pastor. He's preaching. He has the ability to stand up. 4 years, we have seen news media clips of candidates going to churches, primarily inner city churches, African American churches, and coming in and speaking to the congregation, soliciting their votes, ripping into the opponents, and never in the history of our country has any one of those churches ever been called to task for that. Now, is there a double standard in this country? For yes, what's supposed to be the greatest country in the world, that's one of our problems. We do have double standards. Shouldn't have, but we do. So some organizations go, in fact, they send people to church, hoping that the pastor will say something that they can catch on their cassette recorder or on their telephone, that they can then go to the IRS and say, look, these guys are promoting this candidate. We're fortunate that we have a group called the Alliance Defending Freedom. And they are chomping at the bit to represent any pastor who will stand up, take a stand for a particular candidate, and then let the IRS come after him. Because they are ready to challenge and to eliminate the Johnson Amendment. And they will be doing that for gratis. So they're trying to say to the pastors, hey, we've got your back. you stand up and do what the pastors of old did. You become part of this black robe regiment. Have your church take a stand on the political issues of the day, maybe even the political candidates of the day. And we've got your back. If the IRS comes after you, if they want to try to bring the church in for having been involved, we've got your back. We need men of courage in the pulpit. Men who not only, you know, because if we let America go, then we're letting God go. That's why it's so important. We keep letting America slip away. The America we knew, the America that we love, the America that was the city set on the hill for the rest of this world. We let that go. Then pastors are not going to have a congregation, because they're going to shut you down. They're going to shut you down. If we keep losing our freedoms, a lot of it will be on the heads of pastors who did not stand up for God and did not stand up for right. Need to be encouraging your people to vote. You need to be suggesting to them who to vote for, what to vote for. You need to be explaining the issues of this election. You need to be teaching your congregation of the issues. Well, Dale, if I do that, they're going to think I'm a Republican, or they're going to think I'm a Democrat. I don't want to take sides. Okay, then why don't you pray? If you don't want to take sides, and I tell you, it's coming clearer and clearer in this country. It's breaking down to good versus evil. You can say, Dale, that's a broad statement. No. Good versus evil. And even though I think good is slightly on top, it can flip like a pancake. There are people who truly want to destroy our country. They don't care about loss of religious freedom. They don't care about that. They care about power. And it's both ways. But I can tell you what, Pastor, if you pray, and you get before God and you say, God, what do you want me to do? What issues are you interested in? Where do we need to make our stand? What do I need to tell my people about what's going on in this nation? There are some people in our nation who have no clue what's going on. Not the first hint. Because they listen to some of the media that has been branded fake news. Not just branded, I mean, some of them have earned that. It's just like there was a statement made last week, and the person who made it came back and said, my bad. I was mistaken. I said I knew. I don't know. In fact, what I said was wrong. And a lot of people have backed off. And yet there's one network still pounding that was the truth. After the person that said it was not true. Now, if you listen to that source, then you don't have a clue what's going on in our country. And thanks to people like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and Google, they're arranging it so you don't get an equal balance between liberal media and conservative media. You get 96-97% liberal versus 3-4% conservative. If you're going to say anything positive about the United States, Facebook has taken it off. They're not allowing it to come forth. What? Things positive about the United States? Positive information, and you, in our own country, you don't want that to come out? What kind of idiots run these countries, these companies? I mean, give me a break. Do they call themselves Americans? It's amazing. They hate Americans and America. But we've talked about what the Christians should be doing about that. I'm concerned about the men behind the pulpit standing up, praying and asking God. Getting people saved important, you better believe it. Talking about God's grace important, yes. But equally important with God's grace and freedom that God has provided us is freedom in this country. We need to be standing up and saying, here's God's position. Now, you're only going to know God's position if you ask him. But believe me, Pastor, if you pray and ask God's position, he's not going to hide it from you. And then, when you get up, you're not Republican, you're not Democrat, you're not independent, you're responding God's position. And you're talking to people who are supposed to be Christians. And if you've got Christians in your audience, they want to know God's position. Nobody wants to be a Christian and go into the election booth and vote against what God wants. How stupid is that? I mean, you want God on your side. So what are you going to do? You're going to pray, ask God what to do, and then go in and do just the opposite? No, most Christians, when told what God's position is, will respond by voting for God's position. But our problem in the church is no one stands up and tells. Sometimes the only source of accurate information about how people should vote, Pastor, sometimes is you. Some people would like to know what God is saying to you. about our country and about the position we as Christians should take. They're waiting for you. As are the rest of us. Father, we thank you for the men of God that you have in your pulpits. We thank you, Lord, that they will stand up, that they will seek your face, that they will let their people know what your position is. Lord, we ask for you to be open and share with these men of God your position with regard to issues in this country. We want you to be pleased with this country that you helped build through the men and women that you brought here. And we look for your creation to rise and to keep this truly as a city built on a hill, whose light extends throughout the world. And for that, Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, have a great weekend. I hope you will find time to tune in to Stormwatch next week at 1 o'clock Central Time and 7 o'clock Central Time. Next Friday. This is Dale Allison. God bless.